And now our call to worship, Psalm 16, 9 through 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now we ask if you could join us, and we can stand and sing Christ Arose.
Dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior, vainly they sealed the
singing, and you know why it's such good singing. There's more of you here. That's why. And we're glad that you are here as well. Thanks for coming, being a part of our Easter service. And I want you to know that it's not always like this every Sunday, but it's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to hear the promises that we have at Easter time that Jesus rose again from the dead. And you know something? There would be no such thing as a church if it did not happen. We wouldn't be here. I wouldn't even be a pastor. It'd be the last thing I wanted to be anyway. But Jesus is alive. And we see it in the lives of people and the changes that takes place in their lives. And I don't know where you're at today in your relationship with the Lord, but it's never too late. There's always room for one more at the cross. And so keep that in mind. You're not supposed to be sitting over there. You're supposed to be over here. Yeah. And Norma's supposed to be there, yeah. Well, it does not matter. It's just interesting how that works. Hopefully you got a bulletin as you came into the sanctuary here. This morning, there's one that you can pick up in the back. It looks like this. Just want to highlight a few things that we find in there. You know, one of the things is, what is Easter all about? Maybe there's someone here that really doesn't know what it's all about. This is a good little thing to help you with that. And it probably won't answer all your questions, but if you got questions, I'd be more than glad to get together with you after the service or even sometime this coming week. I'd be more than glad to come on over or go out for coffee or whatever it is. I might have pop instead of coffee, but I call it coffee because most of the people like coffee. And I might even just have water. I don't know. We'll see. But just want to highlight some things, just letting you know that the baby bottles that have been handed out or that you have been given through the for the last month or so is for the Cherish Center here in Milford. And if you want to still give something toward that great cause, you sure can do that, you know, today or even later on, if you'd like to do it that way. There's no showing of the Chosen here tonight because it is Easter. We hope that there are family or friends that you're spending time with, or sometimes, you know, it's just nice to be alone. So don't come over to my house, okay? But it's just a great day. Many times when I get outside on Easter morning, I go, "He arose! He's alive!" And somebody, I might either wake them up or they might think I'm crazy. But I just say that's the good news for today. Jesus is alive. This Tuesday is the last women's Bible study that will be meeting at 9:30 here at the church in the fireside room. And there are prayer partners that they would more than glad that anybody could be a part of prayer partners that meets following the women's Bible study in the library. On Wednesday, pretty much getting back to the routine of things. Easter's over with. And so we have Joy Kids that will meet at 3:30 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Joy Kids, enjoy us kids. Just want you to know, some of you here don't know what we do, but there's a, like after school, there's a bunch of kids that come here. We give them a little something to eat. We share Jesus with them through some different ways. Sometimes it's a craft. Sometimes it's a little workshop that they get hands-on things that they can do for the older ones. But we want the kids to know and hear about Jesus Christ. And we do that on Wednesday and have been doing that all for many years. That's been going on here while school's been going on. And then we have confirmation instruction at 5:20 for this, you know, 7th, 8th grade or whatever age you may be to come in the fireside room. And I have the privilege of being the teacher for those wonderful students as well. There's 6 of them this year, 3 girls and 3 boys. Who do you think are the most mature? We won't go there. Saturday, this is for you, Ron. Men's breakfast at Perkins here in Milford. And it's just a fun time for guys to get together and invite you to be a part of that at 7:30 in the morning next Saturday, this coming Saturday. And it will be, you know, tomorrow is the first day of April. Or is it the first day of May? April Fools, you know, a little bit early. So can't believe that April is starting already tomorrow. So some of the other requests that are in there is that you notice a little change in the carpeting as you came to church today, new carpeting, and probably as you came in, either way, the hallways and the fellowship room in the back there, and the kitchen's got new tile as well. It's just, I go like, and it's Easter. Remember the day when you buy something new for Easter? The ladies would wear the bonnet or a hat. I go like, them days are gone. Or you'd buy a new outfit, a new dress. And sometimes you'd have communion that Sunday, and then people go up front, and you kind of go like, oh, so that's what they got new this year. Or look at that. It shouldn't be that way at all. It should be just where your heart is at with Jesus is what that should always be about all the time. And so we just thank the property committee for completing. It's almost completed. It's not completely done yet, but we thank them for the new carpeting. And just to let you know that on Sunday, April 14th, we're going to do a little welcome back to the Snowbirds. There's a number of our people that go down south. And so we're going to do a little egg bake. Guess who's behind that? I'll give you one guess, but you might be wrong. Dean Ramsey. You know, but if you want to help make an egg bake for that Sunday, be following the church service. We're going to sit down in the tables and just get to know one another better and visit and have some egg bake. That sounds like a good thing to me. So that's all the announcements that I want to give. And I just want to have a word of prayer with everyone as we continue on worshiping the Lord this morning with our praise band here. Heavenly Father, we rejoice and thank you for the good news that you've given to us, that you are alive, that you came back from the dead. It is something that you had always told your disciples. It wasn't that they just was sprung on them. They knew this for a long time. And you talked about it at least three times before it actually happened to them. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have, that we can hear about your great coming back to life and the good news of that you'd want to give this eternal life and to forgive our sins to each and every person that's here. And that we too would have that same hope that when we die, whenever that may be, because we know that our days are numbered, but we have that hope of being with you forever and ever and never have to deal with sin and its little tricky consequences that goes along with that. But we know the consequences of sin is eternal death. So it is important that we receive you and to believe in you by faith here in this life that will prepare us for the next life that is to come, because we're all headed in that direction. And we want to see everyone that we know in heaven. Sad to say, it probably will not be that way. But we know there's three surprises in heaven. The first surprise is the ones we thought would be there aren't. The ones we didn't think would be there are there. And the biggest surprise is that I'm there. It's by your grace, Lord. May we live for you as you empower us to do so by your Holy Spirit each and every day. Thank you for everyone that is here today. And Lord, you know every heart that's here. You know every struggle. You know everything that is coming along the way in life. Thank you that we have you to lean on, and you want us to lean on you. And there's times where you carry us because we only see that one set of footprints in the sand, which are yours, because you're carrying us. And there are times when that happens too. And maybe there's someone here today that says, I've been carried by the Lord for a long time. Or someone here today that says, I need to be carried by Jesus today. He will not forsake anyone. He will always say, I will gladly come and hold you, or hug you, or carry you at any time. So bless our time together here this morning and everyone that is here as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I keep forgetting. If I'd read the bulletin, I'd know what comes next. Responsive reading comes from Isaiah chapter 25 and John chapter 14. He will swallow up death forever.
The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces.
He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth.
The Lord has spoken.
In that day they will say, surely this is our God.
We trusted in him and he saved us.
This is the Lord. We trusted in him.
Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
He has risen. He has risen indeed.
Along life's stairway, he lives, salvation to impart. Yes, behold, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Along life's narrow way, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you, praise band. You may be seated. And look at this up here. I found an egg. If you find an egg around the church, I just want you to know it's there for you. First come, first. Oh. Way to go, Dale. And you can eat whatever's inside of it. So, I'd like to also greet all those that are watching by Zoom. We're glad that you've joined us, wherever you are and whoever you may be. We're glad that you have joined us by that kind of technology, which I am not a techie guy by any means. But I do want to invite you to stand as we hear the good news that we find again here in Scripture. We find it here every Sunday here at Harbor of Joy. And if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, it'll be up on the monitor, but if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Oh, did I say Matthew? Okay, I'm just checking you out there. It was not April Fool's yet. But Mark, yes, it's Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. We are reminded of what Mark writes here for us. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Lord, we thank you for your words that are here. Some of us have heard these words many times, and some of us here haven't heard it that often. And maybe there's someone that has never heard these words before. But we thank you, Lord, that they are true, in that they will never, ever misguide us. They will always tell us the good news that Jesus is alive. Just as we have sung these wonderful hymns today, that it's all true. May we find your truth in the songs and the music, as well as in your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Mark begins his text with, "When the Sabbath was over." It's important. When the Sabbath was over. You know why? Because if you were a Jew, your Sabbath began in the evening of Friday night. As the sun was going down, it was the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath. And then Saturday is their day of worship in the synagogue. It says here that the women came on which day? On the first day of the week, which would make it Sunday. And they went there with the hopes, their mission was that they wanted to put some spices on the body that Jesus was wrapped up in. You know, he came as a babe in swaddling clothes. Isn't it interesting that pieces of cloth is what they wrapped the body in, and they had to do it quickly because they didn't have what we have here today. They didn't have a funeral home. The body had to be taken care of very fast once it had died. And they knew where Jesus had been buried. They knew exactly where to go. They did not go to the wrong spot. What was on their mind that morning as they were holding the spices is that they wanted to know, well, which one of us can move the stone? It's a huge rock that was put against the side of the door, the entrance of the tomb. But we find that of all the people that kind of went to see Jesus, we find that it's women. You go, why, where were the disciples? How come the disciples weren't the first ones there? Jesus had told them what was going to happen when he came to Jerusalem and how that he would be treated, and that he would be crucified, and that he would die. But you don't find the disciples coming. But it was three women. Mary Magdalene, which she is one of those that had seven demons cast out of her. So these women were very close to Jesus. They knew who he was. And for Mary Magdalene to have even been there is a miracle in itself. Having seven demons cast out of her. The other one was with Mary. So you got Mary was a common name in that day. And this Mary had a son by the name of James. This is not the same James that we find in the New Testament who wrote the book of James. This is James the Lesser. He's one of the disciples, but he is the little guy of the James that we find with the disciples. And then there was also Salome. Of course, her name could probably be Salami or Baloney. Or, I don't know, but it was none of that. It's Salome. And she is the wife to Zebedee. Zebedee had two boys. So Salome has two sons whose names were James and John. Their nickname was Sons of Thunder. And it's kind of interesting that we find these three ladies had gone to the tomb because they knew Jesus in a very personal way and brought those spices for him. And they found that the stone was already gone. It had been moved away, but they went inside the tomb. And to their surprise and also fear, they saw a guy already in there. Probably an angel. But now this is Mark's account of what happens. You find different things that are spoken of in Matthew and Luke and John. But the resurrection is spoken by all four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's all in there. And so as they go inside the tomb, they are very surprised that who they came there with the spices to basically put upon the strips of linen that he was wrapped in wasn't there. But the man inside, the young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and he noticed that they were startled, that they were alarmed as they came into the door, into that tomb, and found that he wasn't there. But they find this guy there. Makes you wonder, how long was he there? What did he do all that time? Or was he sent there as a special person to be there for just these ladies, to calm them down? I don't know. I wasn't there. We just have this account here in Mark. But he says to them, don't be alarmed. It's like, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. You are looking. He knows why they're there. You came looking for Jesus, the Nazarene. That's important that he puts Nazarene, because this Jesus comes from the town of Nazareth. Specifically, could be somebody else. It's this Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, is referred to by this guy as Jesus the Nazarene, and who was crucified. And then he tells them this: he has risen. Wow. He has risen. And he says he is not here. See the place where they laid him, and they would have laid him in a hewn out piece of a rock that this tomb was chiseled out on. It was Joseph of Arimathea, it was his tomb, and he had to be very wealthy to have a tomb like this, but he gave it up to put Jesus in there. And so they would set his body on a kind of a rock slab, or just a rock platform that would come out, and maybe they just left that there as they chiseled it out. But that's where the body would have been laid. And it was not there. And then he tells them, see the place where they have laid him? But go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. I want you to see that God was always ahead of these women. They had concerns as they were heading in that direction of going to the cemetery, to the tomb where Jesus had been put. But God had gone before them. The stone that they were worried about had been moved. That wasn't a problem anymore. The stone's been moved. They went in to see Jesus, who they expected to be, like, you know, kind of wrapped up in claws that looked kind of like a cocoon. But they went in, they found nothing. They didn't find Jesus, but they found this guy that didn't expect, that was able to talk to them and tell them why they had come there, who they were looking for. And then they hear the good news from this man dressed in white. He's risen. He's not here. But then he tells them what they need to do next. Now, go back to where the disciples are, but make sure you find Peter and tell Peter that he is risen. And so they left as if they were from Brookings, South Dakota, going to the university. What do you call them? Jackrabbits. They ran like jackrabbits. And they were afraid. And that's, you know, Mark doesn't tell us anything more about what that, about that. We find that the other gospel writers, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 8, it says that they departed quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. In Luke chapter 24, verse 9, it says that these women returned from the tomb and they reported all these things to the disciples. In John chapter 20, verse 2, it says that she ran and came to Simon Peter and said to him, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." And in John chapter 20, verse 18, it identifies this woman, Mary Magdalene, the one who had been delivered from seven demons that was in her. It says that Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Grasp that for just a little bit, what that must have been like. She comes and she says, "Well, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you, but I have seen him. He is alive. It's not just a rumor. It's for real." The conclusion of this whole, the words that are given here by Mark is basically this: Jesus is here. He's still alive. You know, it's not uncommon for the family or the friends, they want to see their loved one who has died. It's not uncommon for these women to go where they did. You knew how close they were to Jesus. But it's not uncommon that when someone dies, you want to go and pay respects. You want to have some closure in your own mind, in your own heart. For Jesus, there was no obituary. It's like no one really knew. Well, people did know that he had died, but there was no one made any attempt to publish anything because there probably was no newspaper at that time, to let them know what had taken place and that he was actually buried after he was taken off the cross. How many people knew he was taken off the cross? Not that many. And who did it? Who made the request to take him off the cross? And who was it that was there at the tomb to embalm him? I believe it was Nicodemus was also there that helped Joseph of Arimathea. And they wrapped him in 75 pounds of embalming. Think of that. They had to be some pretty sturdy guys to do that. For Jesus, there was no time of a service given. No time of when you could come and have a visitation to see him. I'm kind of relating what happens here today, if you haven't figured that out yet. There was no carpet or soft music being played in the building that would help soften the grief that would have been there. It was just a hole carved out of the rock on probably a side of a hill. And it was cold inside this hole. There was no flowers, no arrangements. There was no sympathy cards of any kind. There was no shiny casket. Some caskets are made out of oak wood, but very elegant, very nice. Some are made out of metal, very shiny, different colors. And inside the casket is some soft padding around where the body is laid. Jesus was just quickly wrapped with strips of cloth. And they put his body on this rock platform. Let me ask you this question. What would it be like to come up when you've gone to a visitation or you've gone to a funeral before the service begins, where typically you can go and pay your respects to the one lying in the casket? What would it be like to come up to the casket and you see nothing in there? No one's in it. It's empty. The person you expected to see was not there. What would that be like? What would you say? You would probably go to the funeral directors or find the pastor or somebody around or the family going like, "He's not there. It's an empty casket." Jesus was seen, touched, and heard, and he served the disciples breakfast on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. Who was the one that jumped out of the boat and swam to shore because he recognized that it was Jesus? Very good. Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times, and he said he would never, ever do that. And Jesus says, "When the cock crows, you'll have denied me three times." The rooster. Did Peter hear the rooster? Yep. The scriptures tell us that he was so mad of what he had just done that he even swore and he left. He ran away. You may not find that in the English translation, but in the Greek, it will say that he was not the nicest mouth of the disciples. So Jesus is risen, and he is here with us today. It's not just a song we sing, but he is here in this place. How do I know that? Because Hebrews 13:5 tells us, and I've said this to many a people in nursing homes who know that this is our last stop before eternity. I share this verse with them, have shared this verse with them. It says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We have that promise. Every day we have that promise. He's always with us. He cares about us. He knows our hearts. So I ask you this morning, where is your heart when it comes to Jesus Christ? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can celebrate this day that you are alive. We can say that you have risen indeed. Or maybe we just have heard it from someone today. But the truth is that you are a real person and you do amazing things even today. All I can say, Lord, is if it wasn't true, I definitely would not be the pastor here today. You have a way of changing people's hearts and minds. And I am one of those. There's a saying that says, well, if Jesus can change me, he can change anyone. That was my slogan, my motto, my mantra. And that's good news, because you can change anyone's life, anyone's heart, even here this morning. If we would just humble ourselves and say, Lord, here I am. I'm tired of the rat race. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of following ways that are against you. Today I come. Today I come. Forgive me. I'm just an empty vessel, and only you can come and fill it with your love, with your forgiveness, and with your power to live for you each and every day. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I will be perfect. But I'm just thankful I have you to lean on. It was your wounds whereby we are healed that Isaiah tells us in the 53rd chapter. Only you can restore us. So whatever is on anyone's heart or mind here today, may he or she just simply pray this prayer of, Lord, I don't know what to do other than to come back to you and to give you my heart and my life. Even if I have to say again. You are a forgiving, gracious, and a wonderful Savior. You do not chastise us. You just open up your arms and you say, here I am. I will receive you. I will hug you. I will take you in. Because I love you. Even after all the bad things you have done or that you have said, I still love you. And I care about you. Those are wonderful words for anybody. And so, Lord, let us pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed. And notice that the Apostles' Creed doesn't say, we believe. It says, I believe. It's first person. Is this truly what you believe today? Don't just say it. May it be real for you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May you be seated. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. What did Jesus say when he showed himself to the disciples in the room that they were locked in? They locked themselves into? What was the first thing he said to them? Peace to you. May that be to you as well. Let us close with the last song, Lynn.
Shall we stand and sing, Because He Lives? God sent His Son.
They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. By my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future and life is worth
serve the Lord.
Do you know?
I was really taken back by what you said.
Oh.